All right, so in Luke chapter 5, if you would turn there with me, I'd like to comment on that. It's a pretty well-known story here of Jesus encountering Peter and some other fishermen there, Simon, Peter, same person. And so Jesus talks at the edge of the lake, and having gotten into one of the fishing boats there in verse 3. I'm in Luke chapter 5 now in verse 3. Verse 4 says, when he finished speaking, he told Simon, put into the deep water and let your nets down. Simon says, we worked hard all night long, but at your bidding, we'll do so. And they did so. And they enclosed, it says, verse 6, a great quantity of fish, so much so that they needed two boats to bring all the fish in. And then verse 7 says, they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now, there's a lot to say in all that, and I can't get into all of it tonight, but there's just a curious thing here going on there, because at the end of all that, verse 10, Jesus says to Simon, who is Peter, he says, do not fear, from now on you will be catching men. Now in the context, really that means you'll be fishing for men, because that's what he was doing. If he was catching fish, Jesus says, nope, you're going to be catching men. There's an analogy here. It works on a number of levels. Jesus' miracle, if that's what you perceive that to be, of this great catch of fish, was not intended to help Peter's fishing business through a little slump, right? That's not what that purpose was. Rather, it was to teach that you caught nothing, not because there's a shortage of fish, but because you just need to know where they are and when to fish and how to catch them. And that provides a great template or a great message there for us when we're talking about personal work. We have no shortage of candidates for hearing the gospel and obeying the gospel. We just need to know where to go and when to fish and how to do so in the best way. Catching men is far more important than learning how to fish for fish. Jesus is not concerned with fish. Jesus is not concerned for animals. He is concerned for human souls. In another story, which would probably be a good parallel to this, we might remember the man possessed with a legion of demons, rather, there in Gennesaret. And Jesus allowed that man's life to be preserved at the expense of 2,000 pigs. Okay, so 2,000 animals doesn't even come close to the worth of one soul. That's how precious Jesus looks at souls in comparison to fish or animals or anything else. Certainly, some people are better fishers than others, and some catch more, depending on their talents, their opportunity, their courage. And yet, there's some characteristics to fishing that make this a wonderful analogy to what we call personal work. I emphasize that on purpose, because I just want to see everyone's skin crawl and sweat break out when they hear personal work. When I say personal work, don't think of long, complicated studies, because it doesn't have to be long or complicated, but you do need to know what you're talking about, and you do need some tools. Personal work can be very simple, just like fishing. You might just grab your pole, grab some bait, and head to the river, right? We used to do that when we lived in Anchorage. Down about 15, 20 minutes out of town, there's a place called Bird Creek, which is out in the middle of nowhere. Because that's what is out there 15, 20 minutes out of Anchorage. And so there was a place where we could go fish, and we fished for silvers in the season there, and we got a lot of salmon out of that creek. It was a pretty simple thing, literally. Throw your pole in the car and head out. Other times it can get rather involved, like a fishing expedition where you hire a fishing guide, you fly into a remote place, and I did that at least one time. Went to Alexander Creek with a good friend of mine named James Chasen. And Alexander Creek is on the other side of the Cook Inlet. It's out literally in the middle of nowhere. And they fly you in, you land on a creek, and you get your fish, and you take off from that creek. And that's expensive. And, you know, those are time-consuming, expensive expeditions there. Or maybe you're fishing for a not-so-common kind of fish. Well, then you're going to need special techniques, special training, and probably a boat, okay? So, and I've done that when I went halibut fishing out in Cook Inlet, out of Homer there. You go out in the boat, and it's an all-day thing, and it's a pretty involved thing. And it wasn't my boat because I didn't have one. But I'm just saying that it can get more and more involved as you go along. So they're not all on the same level. Personal work is, first of all, personal. We're not focusing on religion when we talk about that. We're focusing on people. Personal work is not church-oriented. It is people-oriented. The other half of that, though, is that it is work. We're not talking about just a walk in the park or sitting in a rowboat on a lazy afternoon with a fishing pole over the side while you basically fall asleep, right, in the sun. We're not talking about that. Think about what Peter and company said to Jesus when he says, cast out your nets there. And they said, we worked hard all night long. Personal work, you might be working hard to do it. And that's just part of the nature of that work. But first of all, you need a motivation to fish. Peter and company fish because their living depended upon it. In their perspective, no fish equals no income. No income means we don't eat. Okay, you can see where that goes. It gets bad in a hurry. So they wanted to have fish because their livelihood depended upon that. And I do believe that this is a primary mistake of many Christians. We don't look as though our living depended upon it. I'm not talking about preachers who get paid for what they do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the success of our congregation. We don't think about that fishing for men is what keeps our congregation alive, not only to next year, but the next 5 years, the next 10 years, into the next generation. Congregations just exist, a lot of people think. And because they exist, then we come and go. We go to church. We don't always see the value or the sense of urgency that is laid before us. We need to change that, if indeed that's how we're thinking. We need to change that, recalibrate, like we talked about this morning. If we fish for souls like the survival of our congregation depended upon it, it might cause all of us to step up our game, is really what I'm getting at. Although we should never go fishing for men just because we want to save our congregation. That's not really the only motive involved. Well, our real motive should be is our love for souls because of God's love for souls, including your soul. God went through great expense and great trouble to get you the gospel. And we should show a measure of gratitude to that and wanting to show our appreciation in the form of looking for other souls as well. God knows where the fish are. He does. He knows where all the fish are, just like Jesus knew where the fish were. That's why he told them to go out and put your nets out in a certain place here. And he will direct us to them if we but cast out. Let me give you a little fishing tip. You think I'm some kind of professional fisherman? I'm not. I learn from trial and error, and even then, I'm just average. But still, if you're going to fish successfully, as opposed to wasting time and money, you need to have a basic knowledge of fish and how to catch them. One thing I did learn is that there are different fish in different places at different times of the year. You say, well, duh, but it's true, right? So just think about that. You don't always get what you want or what you expect. You can't be choosy. Another thing I learned is fish don't appear to me just because I'm in my waders and I've got my fishing tackle and my pole over my arm, right? I mean, it doesn't happen like that. Fish don't show up just because you're ready. In other words, you have to be ready to pursue them. I want you to think of that in view of personal work. People don't show up just because you've studied your Bible. People don't just show up because you're well-versed in fundamentals of faith or something like that. People don't show up just because you've got a Bible under your arm and you're ready to talk to people. That's not how that works. Same with fishing here. And there's factors that affect fishing as well. There's weather, there's different seasons, tides. In fact, in Bird Creek, where we used to go, is hugely tide-driven because we were right at the mouth of the creek as it emptied into Cook Inlet or Turnagain Arm at that point. And so as the tide came in or going out, that's when the fish were there, right then. The rest of the time, don't bother. There's no fish there, okay? Because the fish only come and go at that time. So you need to be prepared for certain variables. And so it is with sharing the gospel. You need to be prepared for variables. No two experiences will be exactly the same because there are too many variables. Don't think that when you talk to someone, say the second person you talk to, after having success with the first person, and you try that same thing with the second person, you get all frustrated and you say, but the last time I used this method, well, that was last time. And this is this time, okay? That was then, this is now, that type of thing. And so you can't always use the same thing because this may not work. It may work, but it may not work. And if it doesn't work, you need to do something about that. One thing I have found, I did this a lot, and it improved my fishing a lot, is to watch others who know what they're doing and how to fish. And then I would copy their style or their technique or something. You know, watch others, where they go, what they use for bait. In fact, it's not bad to go up and ask them if they will tell you, because sometimes they don't want to tell you because then you steal their fish, right? Anyway, that's just fishing etiquette. But so you can go up to someone and say, hey, friend, what are you using there? And they'll say, well, I'm using this. And you're looking at what you're using. It's like completely different. It's like throw that out, get some of what he's got and do that. But don't do it on a different day because it won't work. Okay, I found that out. You need to learn how to cast? Watch someone who casts well. You need to learn how to handle your pole? Watch someone who handles his pole well. And so it is with personal work. Watch those who are seasoned, veteran Christians who talk to people, listen to what they say, listen to what they don't say, listen to how they handle questions, listen to how they handle problems, how they handle rabbit trails, how they handle all these different scenarios. You can learn an awful lot from watching those who know what they're doing. Fishing is a sport, it's an art, it's a skill all at once. And not everyone has a knack for it, but I do believe that anyone can develop a knack if indeed they have desire. Some of you know Matt Tucker. He has told me, I remember him telling me distinctly, that certain fish have a methodical approach to responding to bait. He was telling me that, in fact, I was in his living room at the time and talking to him, and he says, yeah, I'd be standing there in the river, and I would watch the fish as they go around the bait. You know, he'd have his pole, and they're just watching how they react and how they come up, and they kind of, you know, almost sniff at the bait there, and then they go away, and then they come back, and then it's like the third or fourth time, then they actually go for it, and he got it down to where he knew exactly what those fish were going to do because they have a certain behavior, because he'd been watching them, he'd been observing them. Well, people are like that, but you need to think like a fish if you're going to catch fish. And this isn't the only thing that this applies, this method here. I remember a guy was working on my roof there, and he was putting in some of the flashing there, and I was helping him do that. And he says, the best way to do this is you have to think like a drip. And if you think about it, you have to think like a drip of water. Where is this water going to go? That's the best way to know how to deal with it. So think like a drip, think like a fish, think like a person who is not religious, who is not in your circle, who doesn't know your church vernacular, who doesn't know what a gospel meeting is, or doesn't know anything about justification by faith. You need to think like those people think if you want to attract them, if you want to talk to them. So the more you know about people, the more you'll be able to reach out and touch them and communicate with them, and the more you'll be able to catch them, so to speak. I'm using this in the analogy of fishing here. You can't just do what works for you. You need to do what works. Took me a long time to figure that out, that simple principle right there. Don't do what only works for you, what you feel comfortable with. You need to get out of the comfort zone and do what works best. You will find success when you do that. Not everyone's wired the same. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, okay? As I look out on our group, I see all of us, we're not wired the same, okay? And that makes spiritual discussions challenging. For some, it means daunting or intimidating. And because of that, some people give up easily. But if you were to think about, what if fishing was your only source of food? Would you just give up as soon as one fish didn't react to you the right way? You just go, oh, I tried fishing one afternoon and I quit. Well, if that's your only sustenance, you're going to give that another shot. And if we were to look at what saves our congregation into the future, into the next generation, it means all of us need to really take this fishing thing seriously. And then we're not going to give up so easily if that were the case. Of course, for some, there is a thrill of the sports. The sport being the strategy, not the people. I would never say that we're just out to grab people there. But there is a thrill to being part of someone's conversion story. I will say that. There is a thrill there that you cannot express in words. And when you see those people later on in the years to come involving you in their conversion story, knowing you had a part in that, knowing that they remember you for that reason, and we might even be talking this all up in heaven for all I know. I mean, just think about that. There is a thrill beyond words to all of that, and you can be a part of that. You do need to have the right equipment to go fishing, and the proper lure is important. Imagine going fishing without a rod, without a tackle, without bait. Likely many of us would go hungry. Now, you can catch fish with your bare hands. People do it, but it's not really easy, and the opportunity for that is pretty slim. Although I will tell you, I do remember standing a number of times in a school of fish. They're going all around me. If you've ever had fish bumping into you in the river, you know what I'm talking about. And if it wasn't for those pesky little fish and game regulations, you know, where I had to actually catch them on a certain lure with a certain shank and so on, you know, then I could have just taken a net, put my net down there, and got all the fish I wanted. But that's illegal, so I didn't. Okay, but still, I'm saying that if it wasn't for that, you know, there could be a different technique. You do have to work within the rules, so to speak. So you need the proper tools, you need proper knowledge, and you need to know how to use those tools well. It's obvious that not all fish react to the same bait. And not only that, but if you change your area from area to area, day to day, water temperature to water temperature, time of season to other time of season, you'll find that your bait will have to change accordingly. Discovering the right lure is part of the strategy and part of the expertise. And the same thing with personal work. Discovering what works is part of the expertise, part of the strategy. What worked in 1975 or 1995, or 2005, probably won't work today. Or maybe it will work, but only on certain people. Only certain temperaments are going to work with one thing. You might have to try a different strategy with other temperaments. Social dynamics, social personalities or perspectives ebb and flow like tides. There's different seasons of life for people. Sometimes it's not the time you fish, but it's the timing of the fishing or the timing of the fish themselves, so to speak here. The timing is really important. The better you know fish and their habits and their lifestyle, the better you can choose your bait. You can't just choose anything. When one thing doesn't work, well, then you don't just give up. You reach into your tackle box and you try something different. So it is with sharing the gospel. It's the same sort of procedure. When one kind of verse or approach or, you know, talk doesn't work, well, then you reach into your tackle box, so to speak, and you try another one. Maybe not at the same moment, but the next opportunity that you get there. You just do that because, well, that's you're trying to catch fish, so to speak. With personal work, you're not using different gospels. I don't want anyone to think that. But you are using different approaches to the same gospel. We're not changing up our actual message because the message is a constant. It is always the same. But we are changing up how we introduce that message or how we communicate that message or when we communicate that message. Timing, remember, is important. And if you think about that, Jesus spoke to Pharisees and educated teachers of the law very differently than he did those who had limited knowledge or experience. If you compare Jesus' talk, say, to the council there in Acts chapter 2 with Peter's talk to Cornelius there in Acts chapter 10, you see a very different approach, very different language, and very different style. Why is that? Well, because the Sanhedrin is filled with the high priests and chief priests and scribes and so on, very educated men in the law, whereas Cornelius and company was a bunch of Gentiles who feared God but didn't necessarily know a lot about him. So it's going to take a different approach in either case there. Paul talked very differently in the synagogue in his travels than he did, say, at the Mars Hill there in Athens in Acts chapter 17. Why is that? Well, because the synagogue is filled with Jews who are very familiar, well-versed with the old law. The Athenians are very well-versed in philosophy of men, earthly philosophy, worldly or human philosophy, and not so much with the law. So it's going to take a different approach. You need different bait for both kinds of people there is what we're talking about. You're going to take the same approach if you're coming against into this smartly. You're going to take a different approach as well. You might think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, that passage that was read there. He said, I become all things to all men. He didn't mean that he literally transformed into a Gentile when he's talking to a Gentile, but like we said earlier, he started thinking like a Gentile. If you want to connect with Gentiles, and if you want to convert Gentiles, and you want to attract Gentiles, then you have to think like a Gentile. If you want to talk to someone who is without law, meaning they're not under the law of the Jews, but who doesn't have that understanding, then you need to think like that. Same gospel, but different approach to different people. The same essential facts, the same essential message, but finding out the best possible way to communicate and connect and also to convince. It's not a failure for you if your original bait doesn't work. It's a failure if you don't try harder, if you just give up. That's failure. So don't be afraid to change up your game a little bit there and to reach into your resources and talents and maybe other people. Try something new because don't procrastinate and give excuses and give up and just say things like I've heard people say, oh, I'm just no good at talking to people. Really? I bet you are pretty good at talking to people when you want to. When you're talking about something that interests you, and when you're talking about something you're fluent in, I bet you are pretty good at talking with people. What you're really saying is you haven't put enough practice or time into being fluent in the Bible so that you can talk to people about that. And that can change. Anyone can be educated in the Bible. All it takes is some effort and some time. I remember very distinctly standing in the Russian River there in the Kenai Peninsula. It's a couple hours out of Anchorage there, down south there. And I was also, I remember the same experience in Resurrection Creek, which is just outside of Hope, which is on the other side of Turnagain Arm. If you know where I'm talking about, great. If you don't, just understand that these are fishing holes, okay? So I remember standing there and I'm doing my thing. I'm casting. I've got good bait. I've spent a bunch of money to get out there, a bunch of time, a bunch of effort to get out there, and I'm not getting anything. The guy next to me, he's getting everything, okay? He's bringing in fish, and they're beautiful salmon, and I'm looking at him with evil in my heart. Now, I'm just looking at that going, how come he's getting the fish? And I'm not. I'm doing the exact same thing that he's doing. Come to find out, I really wasn't, but I thought I was. What I meant was, I'm in the exact same place at the exact same time. We're both fishing. To me, that was the exact same thing. But then I realized that he has a little bit different technique than I have. And that was evident in the fact that he was catching fish and I wasn't. Some people do have a finesse for this thing called fishing, whether it's personal work or actual fishing. Some people have a good feel for that. I realized that after a while, I could actually cast down a river and I could feel the lure and the weight kind of bumping down the stream in such a way I could keep that right there where the fish's mouth would be. That takes some practice, though. At first, I didn't do that. I was really good at catching rocks and other things in the river, but I didn't have that natural feel. Some people work the rod and reel in sync there, so to speak. And they're very smooth, they're very fluid, they're very well-trained in their motion. Other people struggle. They're not natural. They're clumsy. They're awkward, at least at first. And they're going to expend a lot more effort than other people. Now, that is not always a bad thing. Funny little side note, honey, when she started fishing, she wasn't all that good. I know that sounds mean, but listen to what I'm going to say. We used her very well. Because what we would do when they're combat fishing, which means you're fishing side by side, everyone has to cast out, and it goes down the river, and you pull in, you cast out. Everyone has to do that in a synchronized motion. Otherwise, you get all tangled. Well, honey was that person. They got all tangled. And we use that to our advantage because we needed a spot. There's a bunch of us who are up on the bank. We're waiting for a spot, and we see it's all tight there. And so we send honey down, and about 10 minutes later, we have a spot. So you don't have to be a skilled fisherman, necessarily. You just have to know what your part is. She got better. And then she was telling me, I told her I was going to use this story. She says, well, actually, as we went along and I got better, I just played the part pretty good anyway, just to get the spot. So, people are as fickle as fish are. You probably have noticed this. You probably are one of those people, whether you realize it or not. It may come down to your personality versus another person's personality. It may come down to a key word or a key phrase that you use that they just latch onto and you didn't realize that. Or maybe the reiteration of a phrase. And maybe you said it before. Maybe someone else said it before. It didn't take the first time. I would be willing to bet that a bunch of us reacted the same way. We heard lessons before. We heard someone talking before. And someone said the exact same thing. But timing is everything. We heard it at the right time. And boom, there it was right there. That time it worked. Remember, fishing is not a perfect science, but fishing for men is an excellent ministry. It is an excellent thing to do. So what keeps us going? Well, you might say there is that thrill of catching fish, bringing souls closer to God for their salvation. There is a thrill in being involved in that. Now, if we're talking about actual fish, there's nothing like the excitement of fish on. And there's a picture here of some guy with a fish on. What that means is you got fish on the line, and usually it's, someone pulling back, and they'll yell that, fish on the bank. Theoretically, what that means is everyone else near them stops fishing. That doesn't always happen. Sometimes they fish more eagerly because they say, oh, there's a fish in the area, so there must be more. But anyway, there's, a fishing etiquette. Not everyone appreciates that. But you can experience something very similar to that when someone accepts that word, obeys that word, and you become, again, part of that experience. What is more exciting to me is knowing that we are not working alone. God is involved in this. Fishing for men is far too important for God to leave that up to you or me. We're just people, and we're people trying to help other people. But God wants to save souls. We can't save souls by ourselves, no matter how good we fish for them. It is not within our power to save souls on our own, or with our own effort, or with our own strength. I didn't die for any souls. Jesus did, though. I don't have any power, but this word of God has power. I don't have any wisdom of my own that could save a soul, but God has given us plenty of wisdom. And God is working through us. He dares not leave all this up to you or me alone. If you read the book of Acts, for example, you'll see the Holy Spirit guiding all kinds of men there in the book of Acts. There's the preacher coming into contact, into intersecting with the person who needs to hear the gospel. Why do you think, or why should you think, that it's any different today? That if there is someone out there that you know especially that needs to hear that gospel and you are determined to provide that information, God will provide a way for you to intersect. Now what you do at that point, that's up to you and them. But God will provide the opportunity. There's also this thing called perseverance, because perseverance does count. I've seen many fishermen, even seasoned ones, who catch little or none. They got skunked. I've been skunked. I don't know how many times I've been skunked. Going home just kind of upset with myself or upset with the situation. But I've never seen a fisherman just throw down his pole, smash it, give up. Always they talk about, on the way home, next time. That's what all fishermen talk about, next time. Because fishermen realize that the odds are in their favor. If you cast with the right bait in the right spot during the right conditions enough times, then you are ultimately going to catch fish. And it may not have been that particular day, but perseverance counts here. Christians need to have the same thing. They need to have perseverance, not throwing down our personal work the first or second time because it just didn't work and just giving up, stomping off perhaps. In Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1 there and following, Jesus sent out 70 of his disciples. 70 men he sent out. And Jesus admitted to them in sending them out that not everyone is going to be receptive to what you have. Don't expect that. He says not everyone is going to listen. And we need to accept that up front, that just because we throw our lure out there into the water, so to speak, that everyone's just going to be anxious and willing to, latch hold of that, and we're going to win souls that way. You may have to cast many times before latching on to an actual listener or a sincere soul or a willing heart. I'm told by the statistics that most advertisers give us that people have to have something in front of them at least 3 times before they take it seriously and actually respond to that. That's why advertisers send you the same advertisements over and over. The first time, you threw it away. The second time, you glanced at it a little longer. The third time, hopefully, they're thinking you're going to look at this a little more closely and maybe make a phone call. We need to get that into our head, that people need to see things more than once before they make a decision. Now, not everybody. Some people, the first time works. But most people, human nature being what it is, they got to see it more than once, and that's okay. And realize, too, that fishermen cast into the water without actually seeing the fish because they know that they're supposed to be there. And similarly, we cast into a circle of our friends and family and contacts without knowing which one is going to respond, but that somebody will. You just have this big pool of people, and you cast into that pool. You can't see exactly what's going to happen there, but you believe that something will happen, especially over time. You can't allow 5 or 10 or 50 empty casts to lead you to believe that fishing is worthless and useless. It might be the 51st cast that works, and how would you ever know if you never did it? By the way, fishing will cost you. The ultimate price per salmon of some of our fishing trips was probably around $50, $75 a pound. And when I start calculating, you know, the drive down to the fishing place, the campsite, the gas, the food, you know, all the different things that were required, not to mention the tackle and the fishing pole and everything else, we think, oh, we're getting free fish. We didn't even have to pay for this. Wait a minute. You paid dearly for that fish. You might as well have gone to QFC and paid their full price. It'd be cheaper. But my whole point here is that you don't go just for getting fish. You go for the experience as well. And there's a lot to be said for that. And it gets more expensive when your lure gets caught on an overhanging branch, been there, done that, or an underwater snag, done that many times, and you lose time and money because you lose all your tackle there and you got to, you know, start all over again. But it's all part of the experience. And nothing more frustrating, too, than when you've got it out there, you feel something, and then you tug on it, you're like, fish on! And everyone stops, and they're looking at you, and you caught a big stick. Or, you know, you got stuck, or something like this. It's like, that's so embarrassing. Well, that's going to happen to you in personal work. You're going to think you have someone, you're probably going to start talking up, yeah, I was talking to so-and-so, and they seem really interested, and you never hear from them again. And you're going to feel like you got egg on your face, and you just failed, and so on. Get over it. Get over it, because it is more important that you keep going with this than you sit there and try to save face and try to save your pride. Luke chapter 5, verse 10, once again, Jesus says to the fishermen there, Peter and James and John, he says, do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men. This is a pretty profound thing. Jesus is actually portraying himself as a fisherman, and he just caught Peter, James, and John. He just caught three men, if you think about what's going on here. And yet he was not finished with them, because his promise is now, I'm going to turn you, fish, into fishermen. A complete conversion, a complete transformation. Think about what is happening there. And so it is with personal work. We're not just seeking baptisms. We're not just seeking new members. We're turning fish into fishermen. Imagine if that was literal. If you could take that salmon that you just caught and turn it over time into a fisherman that's fishing for salmon. That's kind of weird when you think about it. But anyway, my whole point is that there would be a huge transformation in that process, right? And this is something that couldn't happen on its own, and it's something you don't have power to do on your own either. Remember, God is working through you, and God is also working through that person. God is transforming them, but as God is also transforming you in the process. Everybody wins in that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. We're not just baptizing people, we're teaching them to do what we just did. We are the fishermen. We caught the fish. We train them how to become fishermen. That's what we do. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, same idea. Paul says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men, by the word men there is people, who will be able to teach others also. We're not keeping all our fishing secrets to ourselves. We're sharing both the message and the technique with others in order that they also might catch fish. In reality, save more souls. It is worth our time. It is worth our effort. It is worth our sacrifice. And while it is a thrill to be a participant in someone's decision to serve the Lord, I want you to think about seeing them in heaven, because you took the time and you made the effort and you cared enough to go fishing, and now you can share in the joy of their redemption from that point forward forever. Just think about that. That is powerful to me. I want to be there. I want to share that experience. I will share all my own experience with those who helped me to become a Christian. Everybody wins. And God smiles on that whole scenario, because that is what makes God happy. Luke chapter 5, verse 11, it says, when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. After this huge catch of fish, you imagine they would have said, hey, Jesus, appreciate that, the fish here. We got to get these things to market because, you know, we're going to have a huge surplus now, and this will be great. We'll have all kinds of money coming in. They left it all behind for the servants to take care of, and they went and followed Jesus. Just think about that. Jesus is more important than mere fish, even though these men depended upon fishing for their livelihood. What about you and I? Will we be willing and able to put down whatever is interesting us right now, whatever we are spending our time, will we put that aside in order to pursue other people's souls, take care of their spiritual needs? Will we give Jesus our attention? Will we take time to learn from the Master? Is that this very important to us? Is this something more important to us than our secular interests? Jesus did not call us just to form congregations and have church services. You know that, right? He called us to become fishers of human souls. And whether you are casting or cutting bait or hauling equipment, so to speak, or providing lunch for those who are working, specifically providing deviled eggs for the preacher, Marilyn, I'm calling you out on that. You know, we're all working toward the same goal here. We're all doing the same thing. We're all supporting the mission, as Buck had said earlier. But you also realize that no one is going to catch fish by sitting on a sofa or sitting in front of a computer screen or listening to sermons. You have to get out of your familiar surroundings. You have to go where the fish are. You have to endure mud and bugs and bad weather because souls are that important. They have to be important to us that we'd be willing to endure the discomfort of fishing. The future of this congregation depends on our devotion to fishing. And I would go on to say that your own salvation will be affected by your attitude toward fishing. Even if you're not the one to sit down at the table with someone and teach them the gospel, your attitude toward that whole scenario there may affect your future in the hereafter. Your attitude toward seeking the lost, your attitude or your love for those who are lost may affect your future. God is very serious about all this, and therefore we should be serious about all that. We can't all just be talk with no action. We've all done that before. It doesn't work. No one catches fish by merely talking about fishing. I've noticed that too. You actually have to go out, get into the water, and fish. Our love for God and our love for the souls of our fellow human being ought to be incentive enough to become fishers of men. So let me end this lesson by saying, let us love others like God has loved us. And let us become all things to all men so that we, like Paul, might save some. That's my message tonight. I hope it was helpful. Hope it coincided nicely with what we talked about this morning. Gave you a little bit extra information on all that. Take this with you throughout this week. Think deeply upon this. This is good information. If there's anyone here tonight that is ready to be a follower of Christ, maybe you haven't been baptized into Christ and you know your need, you know what the message says, you heard the message tonight even, what needs to be done, this might be an opportunity for you that you're ready to commit to. If that is you and you need to come forward tonight, then do so as we stand and sing the song,